Hi, Will. How are you doing?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great, thanks. It's glad to be here.
Yeah, you're not going to sing a song for us today, then?
No songs for me.
Okay,
You can go to my YouTube site for that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for giving this interview. I really wanted to just chat to you a bit about open source accessibility and get an idea of how long have you been involved with it first? That's probably a good question.
Oh, I've been doing open source accessibility for a long time. I think I did some work in college back in the 80s, but my real professional experience was probably around 1990, 1991, on the X-Window system.
Right, okay. And your most recent experience has been?
Oh, most recent experience has been working on GNOME, and working on the Orca screen reader for people with visual impairments, and working on GNOME accessibility overall.
Okay, yeah. And you, until recently, you were the lead of GNOME accessibility.
The whole big
shebang.
Yeah, but I'm turning into a pumpkin on Sunday. I may not be turning into that much of a pumpkin, but I'm still going to try to remain involved. But I'm not funded full time to do it anymore. I'm really thankful for the work or for the funding that I've had to date. Very generous companies have been doing that. It's been wonderful. Now I'm not funded, and I still have a family to feed. So
I have
to step down.
Okay then. Well, as we're at the CSUN conference, obviously the people here are very interested in accessibility, and to a lot of them, open source accessibility is quite new. Mozilla have been here for about 4 years. This is the first year that GNOME have been here. And the question a lot of people will be asking themselves is why is it relevant to them?
That's a very good question. I've been coming to this conference for a long time. I mentioned back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I've given talks here to huge crowds of maybe one or two people. And the whole time I've ever come here, it's always been talking about what are we doing for free and what are we doing in the open source. And it's always been kind of a curiosity that people have had.
Yeah.
And maybe one or two people show up, but nothing really serious and no good traction has been made. But what I notice about conferences recently, and actually this conference in particular, okay, this year, we're seeing open source becoming very relevant and very meaningful. And I think there's a bunch of things that are causing that to happen. So one is GNOME has been on this trajectory of really improving its accessibility offering and providing more compelling access. So it's not just a curiosity, it's not a demoable feature, it's actually something that's making a difference in people's lives around the world. So we have that. So it's maturing and it's becoming usable. And then the other aspect that we have is that our economy is really bad right now, and people don't have a lot of money. And so we're seeing budget cuts everywhere.
Okay.
And so people cannot afford the commercial assistive technology solutions. And that's happening here in the U.S., it's happening in the U.K., it's happening in wealthy countries. But that's also causing, the economy is causing even more problems in underdeveloped countries. So India and Spain and Brazil, where they may not have a whole lot of money to spend on anything in general, let alone accessibility. Okay, so I think what's happening is with the compelling access that we get with GNOME and with the bad economy, this whole notion of free open software and open accessibility is a very appealing thing.
Okay.
And so I got to say one more thing about this, which was really cool. So yesterday, I sat in on a talk. The gentleman's last name is Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And he gave a talk on open source accessibility.
Mm.
And in there he mentioned GNOME.
Yay.
Okay, and I had no idea the guy even existed. Okay, but he gave a very compelling talk on why open source accessibility is important and meaningful. Okay, so to see that happen, it's not me and other people from our community standing up there and shouting. It's somebody else now that's really deeply involved with the end user side. Shouting for us.
Yeah,
and that's fantastic.
Okay. That is wonderful news. Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, but let's flip that around. And for developers who may be developing their own technology or developing something which they want to make accessible, how is open source accessibility relevant to them, and how can they get the most out of it?
Well, that's a really good question as well. So I think what we have in GNOME is a accessibility stack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's called ATSPI, the Assistive Technology Service Provider Interface.
Okay.
What that does is it prevents you from having to do things and dirty little tricks that you do on other platforms, like replace the video drivers.
Mm.
Okay, and replace other things that that are just native to the system that you shouldn't be replacing. Okay, it gives you this accessibility infrastructure that allows you to write assistive technologies that can come through this infrastructure and talk to running applications and figure out the graphical interface. Mm. Find out when things change in it, find out what's there, actually make changes happen in it all through software. And it's all open. Okay. And it's supported right now primarily through the Python bindings. But it's with Python, it's really, really dead easy to write these really simple assistive technologies. Mm. And so you can write some very, very small assistive technologies that have some meaningful impact. And you can write more complex assistive technologies like Orca, the Orca screen reader. Okay, but these all can work together in harmony. So the other problem that we have with some solutions where you have to replace the graphics drivers is that assistive technology now owns that desktop.
Yeah.
Okay. With GNOME, we all use a common assistive technology. And so now all these assistive technologies that could maybe provide specialized access for special different needs and different disabilities, they can all work together and work in harmony.
Okay. That's good. Okay. I think Aiton gave a talk yesterday, which I was at, which was very good. And from the developer sort of perspective, he did an audit of a program, Banshee, which I don't think is not a GNOME project, is it?
I don't know. I think it's, yeah.
Yeah. But what was very interesting was the fact that Banshee was an open source project. He could engage with them, work with them, and very quickly he took something that was not accessible and through working with the team and providing some patches from code he created himself.
Oh, yeah.
He got it working in 2 weeks, I think it was. And you had to do a bit of work in Orca, I understand.
Well, he actually did the work for us in Orca.
Oh, he did it as well.
And you know, you're right, you just raised a whole aspect of open source and how that is much more compelling for developers in general, is that with a closed source project, you tend to have these very long release cycles. And if you're sitting on the outside and you want to see some change happen, you can register enhancement requests. And if you're lucky, their enhancement database tickets are open and you can watch the progress. But still, you have to kind of wait for 6 months or a year for these things to come out.
Yeah.
And maybe they addressed what you wanted to see and maybe they didn't. With open source, you can go right into the source itself and make the changes yourself if you are technically savvy. But you also have more direct access to the developers because all the communication, especially in GNOME, all the communication is done publicly. It's transparent. You have direct access to the developers. You can read their mailing list. You can read the bug reports. You can download the code. If you're savvy, you can change the code, and you can give people patches. And the other thing that you get as a result of this is if you give them a patch and they like it, the very next day or as soon as they check the patch in, it's available to everybody.
Yeah.
And I got to give an example that I'm really happy of with Orca.
Okay. Yeah.
With Orca, the screen reader, we had a guy, Javier, in Spain, that would give us suggestions and enhancement requests. And sometimes we could turn these around like in 4 hours.
Wow.
Okay, so we'd make the change, check it in. 4 hours later, he can download the code and have the change right in his hands.
Hmm.
Okay, so that was really cool stuff.
That's really good, yeah. That's brilliant. Okay. Well, let's ask you one more question then. Going back to users, one of the things that at OSWatch, who I work for, the Advisory Service for Higher Education in the UK, we're very keen on community. I mean, we see that as the key for what makes the lifeblood, if you like, of open source. And we've been talking a lot about code, mainly because we've just been talking about developers. But for the users here, can you think of some good ways that they can get engaged with, say, Orca or the wider GNOME project, how they can start to work with people?
Well, it's easy.
Okay.
It's really easy. So one of the primary communication mechanisms that we use is email.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go to mail.gnome.org and you can look at the mailing lists that are available. So each project has its own mailing list. Orca's on there. There's an Orca list that you can join.
Yeah.
And one thing I do with the Orca list is I try to make it very end-user friendly.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some people feel very threatened and timid to join a mailing list. They're afraid that if they say something wrong, that people are going to come back and yell at them and call them bad names.
Okay.
And
yeah, you do hear stories from the bad old days, don't you?
Yeah, there are the bad old days, and then there's still some bad old communities out there.
Okay.
But what we do with the Orca list is we try to keep it on topic. We try to be friendly. Okay, we recognize that people will come in, and they won't know the etiquette. Okay, but we try to guide them through. Because what happens is, you coming into a new list, if you're treated nicely, then you yourself start treating other new people nicely as you gain more experience.
Yeah.
And what that does is foster a community to grow. Okay, so now it becomes, instead of Willie Walker and Joan Marie Diggs answering everybody's questions that they come in,
mm-hmm.
it becomes community members helping community members.
Okay.
And it grows, and we stay on topic, and it's a growing, thriving community. So that kind of culture is a thing that I try to promote, and I know other mailing lists try to promote that as well.
Mm. Okay. And in terms of the sort of thing that they might approach you, what the reason for coming along, what sort of...
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. Okay. One might be, you know, what's this open source stuff?
Yep, okay.
Okay, all right, that's a really good question, right? And we're happy to help people along. Another is, I'm trying to access Firefox 3.5.1 beta 2 or something, and I'm going to, you know, x.y.z.hu, and I can't access this particular field. What the heck is going on?
Right, okay.
So we'll have very specific questions like that, and we'll have very generic questions, and it runs the gamut in between. But we also have some people saying, I want to provide a script for application Y.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do it?
Right.
Okay. Those are the ones I love.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because then you can get these people going and get them contributing to the project, and you grow your virtual team.
Yeah. Okay. That's wonderful. That's where I think open source really shows its power.
And, yeah.
And I think that for the accessibility space, where you mentioned cost at the beginning, but where some of the equipment is so expensive, cost is a good point, but the fact that the end users or their representatives can say, we'd like this feature, what do we need to do to get it? Is it something you can do? That's so powerful.
Yeah, and we try to be helpful. Now, I mean, we may get a lot of feature requests that we can't address. We're a very small team.
Sure.
Okay, but, and we always welcome other people to join and help out.
Mm.
But we do try to stay focused. And with Orca in particular, our focus is typically really on the user. Okay, so it's not on the code itself.
Okay.
We do pay good respect to the architecture of the code, but if there's going to be a decision that comes down between do we do some anal retentive thing in the architecture of Orca or solve a user problem,
right?
We focus on trying to solve a user problem.
That's excellent. Okay. That's good to hear.
And architecture takes a close second.
Yeah, yeah. And so. I've seen you make decisions like that, so I know that's true. You're not just saying that for the microphone. Right. Yeah. Well, Willie, thank you very much for that. That was very helpful, very useful. And I think we'll just end by saying, as Willie said, it's very easy to get involved. They're a really friendly bunch. So if you've got anything you want or for Orca or for the wider GNOME accessibility, do find the mailing list. You can just, what's the easiest way to find the mailing list to get in touch?
mail.gnome.org.
Awesome.
Okay, and then you can also go to live.gnome.org/orca for the Orca wiki. But for anything in accessibility in general, you can go to projects.gnome.org/accessibility.
Okay.
And that's kind of a jumping off point for the rest of the projects for GNOME accessibility.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Willie.
Steve, it's been great.
Great.
Cheers. Thank you very much.